So last week was basically an introduction podcast to this channel and getting to know you guys and you guys getting to know me and the agenda we have for this season. Now, we spoke about the topic that we were touching on, and it's salvation. It's a three-part series, and it consists of why we need salvation, how we get salvation, and the effect of salvation on us. So I'm teaching this week on why we need salvation. So my anchor scripture is from Romans chapter 5 verses 12. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. And I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, in case you guys are using other translations like the KJV, NIV and other ones. So from the Christian Standard Bible, it says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all sinned. In fact," it's in verse 13, "in fact, sin was in the world before the law, but sin is not charged to a person's account when there is no law." Now, I'd like you to understand that we are not sinners because we sinned. We sinned because we are sinners. We were born with a sin nature, a nature that we did not inherit, a nature that we didn't ask for, we didn't work for, right? So we were born as sinners. We were born in sin. Our nature from birth was sin. We carried a sin nature from birth. That's why a baby of 2 years old can lie. Right, nobody teaches us these things. Nobody teaches young people how to do all these things, but we just see all these things manifested in our lives, and we tend to ask questions. How did we know? A little baby of 2 years old knows how to lie to get his or herself out of trouble. Right. So in this scripture, it's saying that in this way, death spread to all people. Because all sinned. If we look at this verse discreetly, we'll see that it says sin entered into the world through one man, and this man was Adam. You know, Adam's transgression brought about the Adam's transgression. If you read down to verse 15, we'll see that. Verse 17, we see that by one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. And if we actually understand what happened in the Garden of Eden, we'll see that Eve ate the fruit and nothing happened. But until Adam ate the fruit, something happened. And that happened for two reasons. First of all, in verse 13, Romans chapter 5 verse 13, it says that sin was in the world before the law, but sin is not charged to a person's account when there is no law. God gave the law to Adam. He said, don't eat of this fruit, right? And Adam went and told Eve something else. He told Eve that she's not allowed to touch the fruit, which is different from what God told Adam. And so when Eve got tempted by the serpent and she touched the fruit and nothing happened, she noticed that nothing happened, and she thought, oh, that means I can touch the fruit and nothing happened, and if nothing is happening, then I think I can eat the fruit and nothing will happen. So because Adam gave a different law that was given to God, from God to him, Eve thought that nothing will happen, and eventually she ate it and nothing actually happened, because the law was given to Adam, not Eve. So when Adam ate of the fruit, that was when the sin was now charged to his account. Why? Because it says sin was in the world before the law, but sin was not charged to a person's account when there was no law. So God gave a law to Adam, and when Adam broke that law, that was when sin was now made manifest on earth. Sin was in the world, but sin did not find expression in the world. Sin was not working. Sin was not manifest. It was when Adam transgressed. It was when Adam ate of the fruit. It was when Adam broke the law. That was when sin was officially made manifest on earth. And so we see in verse 14 that nevertheless death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam's transgression, because he is a type of the coming one. Now, something happened in the Garden of Eden. God was actually establishing a process of making his kingdom and the kingdom on earth to be one. So Adam was the type of the coming one, means that there was actually a plan that God had, because Adam was not the one. Adam was the type of the coming one, which means that there was one person that it was actually coming. What I've noticed about God is that he likes introducing the shadow before the object. The law that was in place in the Old Testament, that law, everything that law had to offer with the shadow of the things to come. The temple that God asked Moses to build was the shadow of that of the heavenly one. Adam in the Garden of Eden was the type of the coming one, was like a shadow of the actual Adam that was coming. This Adam we are speaking of was, the Bible says that he was the living soul, but the coming Adam, the new Adam, was the quickening spirit. So there was a quickening spirit that was meant to come and set us free, quicken us from this death that we have experienced through sin, that came into the world through this Adam, this first Adam. But there is something interesting. In the process of the kingdom connection that God was trying to establish on earth, God put Adam in a territory called Eden, and the plan was to populate the earth with Eden, with the Eden dimension, right? If we read Genesis well, we'll see that God asked Adam to go forth and multiply. So he was basically asking Adam, that was Adam's ministry. His ministry was to populate the earth with Eden, with the Eden dimension. Eden was a realm. Eden was a dimension of God's, of the kingdom that man was meant, that was meant to be established on earth. Because Adam was the priest. Adam was the high priest of mankind. Adam basically means mankind. He was the priest. Adam had two ministries. It was a twofold ministry. He was the priest and he was the keeper of Eden. So his keeping ministry, God asked him to keep and dress the garden. But his priesthood was his ministry as the model of mankind. But he was not the exact one, because although he was the type of the coming one, Jesus Christ is the eternal model, is the eternal perfect man. So Adam was Jesus Christ, but temporarily. But Adam played a part in God's plan. So the plan was for Adam was that he should populate the earth with the Eden dimension. But when he failed, God introduced Jesus Christ. And the plan with Jesus Christ was not to pop, okay, because Jesus Christ was God too. He's God and will forever be God. So Jesus' territory was heaven, but Adam's territory was Eden. So these new priests that God was working with. He was also working with their territory. And so Adam's territory was Eden and Jesus' territory was heaven. And so God's plan with Adam was in sync with his territory, and that's why he asked him to populate the earth with his own territory, which was Eden. But since Adam couldn't do that, since he transgressed the law, the Lord Jesus, which was the coming one, which was the perfect man, the Son of Man, the plan changed. The priesthood changed, the plan changed, but the law was still invoked. But the law also changed. The law that God gave Adam not to eat of the fruit obviously had passed away, but the personality of the law entity, was still alive, just as how sin was in the world before the law, but was not made manifest until there was a law. So there was sin, but nobody had sinned. Nobody was a sinner in Adam's time. So the plan that God had with Jesus Christ was not to populate the earth with heaven, but to populate heaven with the world, to bring the world into heaven, to populate heaven with those that believe in him. Adam was meant to populate the earth with heaven, with Eden, sorry. But Jesus Christ came to earth and brought the earth into heaven. That is why when we receive salvation, salvation is not just a... Yeah, what I'm about to say, I'm going to expatiate more on the third part of the series. Salvation is not just something that happens at the altar or at when you invite Christ into your life. Salvation is a tripartite process. It's a process that goes on, that has a ripple effect in eternity. So at salvation, what Christ did was he came to earth and took the earth into heaven, and we are partakers of this process through by believing in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. Now his blood is that medium through which we use to gain access into the heavens, into a deeper relationship with God. So the ministry changed, the plan changed, the law was still alive. So that was why, the whole process of Jesus Christ bringing the earth into heaven, it passed through Moses, Noah, and every other person that God used. We see here that death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in Adam's transgression. Also, we see that even over those that did not sin in the similitude of Adam's transgression, that phrase means that there were people that were as holy as the word holy. They did not commit sin. There were people in those days that had the law and they tried their best to keep the law, right? They did not commit fornication, they did not lie and everything. But upon that, they were still sinners. So you're not a sinner because you commit sin. You commit sin because you're a sinner. Because sin is not the act. Sin is a nature. Sin is a nature that we were born into. We were born in sin. We were born with a sin nature. And that's why by default, we commit sin and we don't see anything wrong with it. Until you have been translated into a new life in Christ and through Christ. That is when you see how terrible you were in sin. So the life of sin and the life in Christ, they are two different things. In Romans chapter 8, we have an understanding that verse 1 and 2, It says there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We were born with a law. You know, when Adam sinned, that was where the issue came, because we were all descendants of Adam. That means we were all made partakers of that law. We were made partakers of the nature Adam had when he transgressed in the garden. When Adam broke the law, there was now a law called the law of sin and death, and this law was already had already been there. Sin had already been there, but sin could not be imputed into a man because there was no law for but the law was like the medium for sin to find expression in the earth. So when the law came, when God gave Adam that law not to eat of the fruit in that garden, and that law was transgressed, the law's purpose was to bring death to anybody that was living under it. So when Adam transgressed, Eve was now corrupted, because Eve was a descendant of Adam. And so from there, since they were able to multiply, you see, it was already too late, because if they had started multiplying the earth before they had transgressed, whole plan, the manual would have been different. But what happened was that God had already planned all these things, because Jesus Christ is the center. Jesus Christ is the center of it all. There is something called the law of sin and death, and this is what we are all living by default when we are being born into the world, because we are born as descendants of Adam. But it takes a translation, it takes an act of faith and grace and love to be translated into the law of the Spirit of life, which will set you free from the law of sin and death. So Adam's transgression put us into a place that we didn't ask for. Adam's transgression brought us into this law of sin and death. We were made sinners, not because we sinned, but because we are descendants of Adam. So why do we need salvation? Why do we need to be saved? The basic emphasis of this teaching is to let us understand that we are not sinners because we sinned, because that verse says that the law was imputed unto those who didn't sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. It says death reigned from Adam. We didn't deserve to die. We didn't deserve this nature of sin. Now, as much as we didn't deserve this nature of sin, because we did not commit any sin to become sinners, we were just sinners by default. In that same way, we also do not deserve the gift of righteousness, because just as one man's trespass brought death and sin to the whole world, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ? The Bible makes us understand that through one man's sin, there was condemnation for everyone. And in the same way, through one man's righteous act, there will be life for everyone. Through one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So from verses 19, we understand that through his disobedience, the whole world was made sinners. The whole world were sinners by default. So in that same way, through one man's righteous act, the whole world will be made righteous. I'd like you to understand that righteousness is not obtained. Righteousness is a free gift. you don't work to become righteous. We gain righteousness, we gain salvation simply by believing in the works of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the reason why we need salvation. Because Adam sinned and many were made sinners. So Jesus Christ came and did the righteous act so that many will be made righteous. So we are righteous not because we worked to be righteous. We are righteous because our Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. So that is why we need salvation. We need salvation because we have a chance to become righteous without even working for it. So I hope you learned something about from this teaching. If you have any questions, feel free to send me a voice note on Anchor. My Instagram is Michis_. You can follow me on Instagram, send your questions, and you can, if you're listening from Anchor, you can as well send me a voice note with your questions. So the whole point of this teaching, which is why we need salvation, is that we were made sinners not because we sinned, but there is also a chance for us to be made righteous, which is a free gift. Thank you. God bless you. Read your Bible and pray every day.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.